You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third and final hour, James Edwards here, reporting to you in the aftermath of the Republican National Convention. I was there in Cleveland for just about all of it, except for a little bit of that first day, and we're playing interviews and sharing reflections and recollections. I am talking too much. That is the problem. I'm talking too much. I've had two interviews that I taped that I ran right into the wall of the break because I didn't give them enough time. And so I'm going to quit talking because we have too many interviews to get to this hour, and we'll never get to them if I keep providing my vivid color commentary. Last hour, we got about halfway through a short interview I did with Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo Yiannopoulos is a commentator. He is a Trump supporter. He is a thought crime dissident. He got booted from Twitter, and I wanted to talk to him about that and Trump. Of course, he promoted some of his personal agenda, which we could have done without on this particular show. But you know what? I can talk with people on anything. It doesn't mean we have to accept everything they say. It's just a conversation. And there is a lot that I do agree with politically with Milo. So let's hear that interview from the very top.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, folks, you just never know who you're going to run into at the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland. And
we're too lucky.
Milo Yiannopoulos, he is a certified thought criminal today, being banned from Twitter as the assault on freedom of speech and oppression continues. Your reaction to having the guillotine fall upon your head?
Well, most people think I'm going to be upset at having my Twitter account taken away. They don't realize it's the best thing that could possibly happen. They've turned me into a superstar. They've turned me into a free speech martyr. And what have I lost? Nothing.
Martyrs do get further.
No, I'm serious.
The unafflicted.
I didn't even have to lose an arm or lose a head. I mean, it's great. I'm thinking of the famous martyrs from history. They all had to die. What did I lose? A social media account. This is wonderful. No, look, I've known this was coming for a long time. They waited until I got into a little spat with somebody because she's a black woman. You know, that they know that the liberal press are going to stick up for them.
You cannot criticize or have a difference of opinion with a minority, or you become obviously a white supremacist, a bigot,
yeah,
a zealot.
But you know, no single report has mentioned the fact that I'm a fag. No single report has been like, this is like gay man against black woman. Like, who knows who the top minority is? I'll tell you, I'm oppressed. I demand to have restitution. No, I mean, it's silly, right? But no, none of the reports mention that, of course, because that doesn't fit the narrative. You don't want to paint me as a victim, because then things get difficult. Then the left has to start choosing between, is it going to be black women or gays? Is it going to be Muslims or gays? Is it going to be Hispanics or blacks? This is what the left has done to us. They've split us all into these little warring minority factions.
The standing on the diversity totem pole can be adjusted according to the dictates of political correctness.
It seems like white gay men are now just as privileged as you guys.
All right, let me ask you this. Would you consider yourself to be a part, either implicitly or explicitly, of what has emerged and become colloquially known as the alt-right?
No, I'm the first and I think still the only journalist to give them a fair hearing in the media. I wrote a long profile, which you can read at Breitbart, called An Establishment Conservative's Guide to the Alt-Right, which I think is probably the fairest assessment of the general contours of that movement. Other people have just been anxious to call it racist, sexist, white supremacist. I don't think that tells even remotely the whole story. So I've given them a fair hearing. I know a couple of the people in the movement. I don't describe myself as alt-right, no.
Do you think there is legitimacy there and that they should be giving, by the media at large, the hearing that you have given them, and that it should be a conversation had by the general public?
No, I want other journalists to continue to not do their jobs properly, because it just makes more readers for me. Why would I want Vox and BuzzFeed and Gawker and Mike to start reporting accurately? That's why I'm so popular, because they're useless at their jobs. No, I want them to continue to be dumb as ditch water. Like, I want them to continue to be stupid. I want them to continue to have their entire stated purpose in life to be calling people names rather than reporting the facts, because the longer they do that, the better things are for me.
Why are you here for Donald Trump?
I love Donald Trump. He is clear. It's a very obvious way a gay person would like Trump. He's like the drag queen you can vote for. You know, he's wonderful. He's over the top and mischievous and larger than life and ridiculous, but also he's going to do good things for America. The wall, trade, these are good things for real America, if you like. But from my point of view, somebody who, you know, likes to push the boundaries of what is thought and said, likes to be mischievous and naughty, the threat that Donald Trump represents to political correctness is thrilling. He is going to smash it, and they are terrified of him, which is why they're coming for his lieutenants, deputies, and fans.
There's no doubt that we have the issue of making America great again as one with which we have a firm area of agreement. Thank you
Wonderful.
So much.
Thank you so
Take
much
care.
For having me. Are you able to do a couple pictures?
All right, let's go straight to the next clip that we recorded from Rob Bishop, a congressman, United States congressman, Republican from Utah. Rob Bishop, here we go.
Congressman James Edwards here. I'm co-hosting with Sam, as I do on occasion this morning. It's great to have you, and I appreciated meeting you off the air just a moment ago. I will agree that Mike Pence's speech last night exceeded my expectations. I think that you are seeing the party come together after a highly contentious primary campaign, although the notable lack of an endorsement from Ted Cruz, along with John Kasich being conspicuously absent, certainly has fed the media's narrative that the party is divided to a great extent. Obviously, you just made mention of the fact that you don't believe that that's the case in reality, but I would like to ask you about Utah, a state that went most heavily for Ted Cruz of any of the states that he won in the primary. Do you believe that Utahns will be able to put the Beehive State in Trump's column on election night?
I feel very comfortable that will indeed be the situation. It's going to take a while for people to get comfortable with that, but it is what the alternative is. We do know what I get from Hillary Clinton. That is not acceptable to me, and it would be devastating to the state of Utah or any public land state with the Clinton administration part two and a continuation of what we've had over the last 8 years.
I can appreciate, as a Christian, the concerns that Christians have over morality issues or issues pertaining to morality. And there is probably, in Trump's past, cause to be alarmed there. Although James Dobson made mention of the fact a few weeks ago that he considers it to be a fact now that Trump has become a Christian. Not just a cultural Christian, but in fact a Christ-believing Christian. And I hope that that's true. But certainly, whatever concerns you would have about Donald Trump's morality surely would be outweighed by the morality displayed by Hillary Clinton, or lack thereof.
Both in a, yes, especially don't know quite how to say this, especially in the public sphere. I mean, there is a morality that takes place on what you do in policy. And that's clearly lacking.
And one thing that I keep falling back on, and it's something that I've mentioned time and time again with people that I've spoken with here, yes, there is a private morality and there is a public morality, and certainly there's a lot of overlap between the two. But if I could say one thing in Trump's in support of Trump, well, I will say a lot of things in support of Trump. I support Trump on just about every issue that he's run on. The way his family has come out for him so sincerely and so passionately, so authentically,
says something.
Really says something to me as a husband and a father. Watching his sons go out there and put themselves on the line in something as brutal as an American presidential race, and to go out there, and you can see it in their eyes. These weren't props. These weren't staged, managed family members that were going out there to play a part or to be a character. It was very real and genuine. As best as I can.
Yeah, and I hope tonight.
All right, folks. That was my conversation with Rob Bishop, congressman from Utah. Many more interviews forthcoming this hour. Stay tuned. It's going to be exciting. Are you excited yet, ladies and gentlemen? You had a voice there at the RNC, and I was proud to serve as that. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
What night other than tonight, on the heels of the Republican National Convention, which I attended along with Sam Bushman and the Liberty News Radio Network, will you hear the Political Cesspool interview a half a dozen members of the United States Congress? I'm talking too much. I'm talking too much, so I can't talk anymore. Let's go to my interview now with Tom Cole of Oklahoma.
Here with Congressman Tom Cole of Oklahoma. How you doing, Congressman?
Hey, doing great. Great convention.
Pretty exciting convention, to say the least. What are your takeaways from it thus far?
You know, I think that we are a lot more unified than people think. That the case against Hillary Clinton is a very uniting case. And I've gotten a lot more insight into Mr. Trump through the family and through frankly, some of the choices he made, like a Mike Pence for VP. Guy I had the privilege of serving with for 10 years and have utmost respect. So it's, I think the convention has come together very nicely politically, and then the logistics and the location have actually been spectacular.
Well, I'll tell you this, as a family man, it really resonates with me also to see his family come out with such support. I think a lot of times you see that in politics and you can tell it's disingenuous, perhaps a little stage managed. With the Trumps, it is absolutely authentic, at least as far as I can tell.
Oh, I think without a question. And, you know, as a father, you see children that are clearly really accomplished. They're not only loyal to their family. These are kids that grew up with a lot of privilege but have worked very hard, made the most of their opportunities. Who wouldn't be proud to put any of those kids out in front of you and say, hey, I'm the mom or the dad to that child?
Well, I'll tell you, Donald Trump Jr. once called his father, I believe, a blue-collar billionaire. And he really does have that persona, because you see a lot of working class, the people who made America great to begin with, out there supporting him. It's certainly not the elitists that are normally the ones in charge of
choosing
just
parties.
Just follow the Wall Street money and see where it goes. It's mostly not moving in his direction.
Well, let me ask you this. The excitement that Trump has brought to the GOP and politics in general has been hugely impressive. He received the most votes of any candidate in the primary history, as we know. How does Donald Trump, in your opinion, represent something new and different for Republican voters?
Well, the mere fact that we're picking out target states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, places we haven't won since 88, tells you that he's bringing a new voter block into the Republican Party. And you saw that in the primary elections, too. So I think it's a little more populist, a little more blue-collar, and frankly, in that sense, much less elitist than the more established Republican Party. And I think that's authentic America.
Well, I'll tell you, this is my first time to vote for a Republican nominee. So he's got one independent in the mix, and I'm very excited about it. Last question. How important is it that voters get this right in November?
I think extraordinary. A third term of Obama, and that's really what we're talking about, I think would be disastrous for the country. Bad for the economy, dangerous for our position in the world, and the regulatory nanny state has already got more tentacles than you can imagine. We'd have four more years of that expansive government and ultimately bankrupting government. So I think this is a really critical election where America really does need to pay attention, make the right choice, and they certainly got a very clear choice.
Well, and to that end, I would say every election, it seems as though you hear people say, it's the most important election of my lifetime. There's never been a more stark difference in the candidates. I think that is actually true this time.
I think without question, and I think the American people know that. I mean, and they know in Hillary Clinton, they've got a candidate they can't trust, that has not told them the truth. They've got deep concerns about her. They don't know Donald Trump as well. They've never seen him in public office. He's never done that. They don't have that. So I think they're trying to make up their minds about, okay, if we're going to trust him with the most powerful position on the planet, how's he going to use it? And that's why I think the next two nights, particularly his acceptance speech, are so important for us.
Well, they haven't seen him in an elected office, but they have seen the Clintons in a variety of positions. And for that reason alone,
that's all the decision I need, or the evidence I need to make my decision.
The consequences of yet another Clinton administration are pretty scary indeed. Congressman Tom Cole, thank you for your time, sir. God bless you
very much. Thank you very much.
That was United States Representative Tom Cole from Oklahoma. Let's go now to Congressman Warren Davidson of Michigan.
With us now, ladies and gentlemen, Warren Davidson, member of Congress from Ohio. This is a pretty exciting time for your home state, is it not, Congressman?
It's a great thing for Ohio and a great thing for the people in Cleveland, too.
The single biggest reason that America must make the correct decision and elect Donald Trump as president in November, what is it?
Supreme Court.
Well, I was just talking with the Attorney General from Arkansas, and that was the exact same answer she gave. Do you think that that's what the people are thinking about, or do you think there's some other issues? Immigration, for me, immigration, trade, foreign policy, I really, really appreciate his disdain for the media and political correctness.
Yeah, thanks. You ran off a good litany. There are some very clear contrasts. For me, the number two one would be national security. And the Supreme Court is so big because the Constitution really is at stake. It's, do you believe the Constitution is written down and it already says things that are there, or do you believe that it's a living document that you can just imagine new rights and read them into it by the bench? That's really at stake. That's the oath you swear as a guy in uniform, or man or woman in uniform, to support and defend the Constitution, and really that's the oath that we take in Congress.
I agree with you 110%. Obviously, there is the vacancy on the Supreme Court, with more likely to open up before the end of the next term, or certainly the next two terms of president. And if I can be frank, the Republicans have let us down in some of their appointments.
They have.
You don't have to agree with that, because I know it's your team, but
no,
I would like to see some strict constitutionalists, people that aren't going to let trends in the media and trends in, frankly, again, political correctness dictate how they rule and interpret the law, and in fact legislate, which is what we see happening with a lot of these judges.
Imagining new rights that aren't written in there, and the Constitution already addresses that. The Ninth Amendment basically says, hey, not all of them are written down in this Constitution. And the Tenth says the ones that aren't written down are reserved for the states. Yet there's new and ever far-reaching federal rights that are read in. We've got Supreme Court justices that are writing books about how bad our Constitution is and how they should redo it. And so it really does come down to it. And for me, if we wind up with a much smaller bench, there's nothing that mandates nine. So I would rather have people in the scheme of Scalia.
Yes.
Arguably Thomas. Maybe Alito, a little early on him. He's doing okay.
You named the two and three best.
Right.
They might.
So if we had those two left and started rebuilding the bench, that might not be a bad way to go.
That's absolutely right. Well, I said this I was talking to a previous guest about this. I said when Trump became the presumptive nominee that I didn't think it would even be competitive. We still see Hillary with a slight lead in some polls. Some are neck and neck. Some Trump has overtaken her. Why do you think it is with the choice and the decision so stark and the contrast so wide that Trump still hasn't pulled ahead of Hillary by a wide margin?
Well, Trump himself's a little more polarizing than some folks. Hillary Clinton, though, is a horrible candidate. I mean, she's horrible. She managed to lose to a no-name senator from Illinois. She nearly lost to a socialist from Vermont, whose main advantage was he's not Hillary Clinton. And, you know, at some point, for a lot of Americans, Hillary Clinton's background, her skirting of the law, if not outright violation of the law, have to matter. And I really, just like a lot of people, the lady that said, "What difference does it make about Benghazi?" cannot possibly be our next commander-in-chief.
Well, this is it. So Trump may be polarizing on some issues for some people, probably people that wouldn't consider a Republican under any circumstance, but Hillary is just so corrupt. I can't say criminally corrupt because that hasn't been made a fact yet, but so corrupt, it really baffles me. What does that say about America that someone like that could be considered to the extent that she has been? Obviously still very much in this thing.
She gets an amazing amount of cover from the media.
Hear, hear. Well, again, I'm not putting you on the hot seat. Feel free to disagree with me. I consider the media to be the mouthpiece for the regime. They are the enforcers of the Democratic Party's policies, and they do provide great cover if you should happen to fill that seat. Let's hope that Trump will get a better hearing after he becomes president than he has as a candidate.
I'm hoping for free thinkers to emerge on the media.
Hear, hear. Congressman, thank you for spending a few minutes of your time with us. God bless you, and enjoy the rest of the convention. I know it's going to be a stem winder tomorrow night.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back right after this, ladies and gentlemen.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
It may not be surprising that a recent poll of people residing in the borderlands between Mexico and the United States found that an overwhelming majority of Mexicans surveyed opposed the construction of a border wall. But the prevailing sentiment on the U.S. side might defy expectations for some. The poll, jointly conducted by the Dallas Morning News, Cronkite News, and Univision, found that 86% on the Mexican side of the border and 72% on the U.S. side opposed building the wall. San Diego resident Daisy Garcia told Cronkite News, quote, "I think when people think about the border, it's probably all the violence and insecurity. I think there's a negative connotation to the border, when in reality, I don't think it's that bad." Asked about their views of their neighbors across the border, 79% of Mexican citizens and 86% of Americans said that the relationship was a friendly one. Significantly, Mexicans and Americans have diametrically opposed views of the trustworthiness of law enforcement officials. 76% of those polled in Mexico said they do not trust police. 82% of U.S. respondents said that they do trust law enforcement. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, left-wing filmmaker Michael Moore stunned the audience at a special edition of Real Time with Bill Maher by saying that he believes Donald Trump is going to win the election in November. "I'm sorry to have to be the buzzkill here so early on, but I think Trump is going to win," declared Moore. The Hollywood Reporter notes that the audience booed, but host Bill Maher responded that the enemy is complacency, and he was glad Moore said it because he certainly could win. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're never going to be able to play everything, ladies and gentlemen. I've just come to terms with that during the last commercial break. We talked to governors, we talked to senators, we talked to members of the United States House of Representatives. It's just not going to happen. But what will happen is the ludicrous, malicious, disgusting maggots, the sniveling little worms in the establishment press, they will come down on yours truly next week. You can bet the house on it. For having accepted an opportunity to go to the Republican convention while declining an opportunity to go to the Democratic convention, they will come down on the Republicans. They will come down on Donald Trump. They will come down on the people that I have talked to and who have talked to me, even though I didn't know who they were, and I'm assuming they didn't know who I was either. In fact, I've got papers all over the place here. I'm still trying to get home. I'm still trying to get set up in my home studio back in Memphis. And I just know we talked to a lot of members of Congress. And, you know, I mean, they're Republicans. I know that much. I don't really know their signature issues. I was happy to talk with them. I was happy to hear their opinions. And but I really don't know them from Adam, and I'm assuming that was the same on the other end. So that's something that if the media was fair, they would remember. But of course, the media is not fair. They're degenerates. They're liars. They have no truth in them. And so we can expect the very worst next week when these pathetic individuals, these scum, report on the fact that I was there. But let's go to I don't know who we're going to now. Let's just play whatever we got. Let's play it now. Let's go with Ted from Florida.
Very honored to have with me Representative Ted Yoho of the great state of Florida, one of my favorite vacation destinations. I bet you never hear that, do you?
We're glad to have you down there and spending the money in the great state of Florida, where we have over 100 million visitors a year.
I probably spend more vacation money in Florida than any other place in the world, and it's always an honor to come down to the Sunshine State. Well, I've asked this of every guest we've had so far today. What are your takeaways from the convention thus far?
Well, I think the biggest thing I'm taking away from this is the momentum, the enthusiasm, and the excitement that you see building behind the Trump campaign. I mean, he came in with the Trump phenomena. The Trump train came into town, but it's filling up with people, and it's leaving here, and it's going to be a fast train.
a bullet train right bullet to train. The White House, departing really Cleveland.
Well. And I think our nation's ready for this. They're tired of the
same. I'm ready for it.
I know I am ready for it. And Lord knows the nation is ready for it. You know, our decrease of our expendable income's gone down under this president. The regulations have gone up. The cost of things have gone up. And they talk about how well the economy is doing. But you go out there and talk to the people on the street. They don't see that. They don't see the confidence in it. Donald Trump will bring that back, and we're excited about that.
I've been in radio for 12 years, been alive for 36. I've never seen anything like this. I'm not quite as long in the tooth as some of the people here, but this is unprecedented in my experience. A question, and this would, of course, just be your opinion, but when it became clear that Donald Trump was going to be the nominee, it was obviously confirmed and sanctioned last night, when he became the presumptive nominee, I said that I didn't think that the general election would even be that competitive. I thought he would run away with it, and he very well still may. But according to at least the polls to date, it's been close, or he's a couple of points below the waterline in terms of the margin of error. Do you think he will get a bounce bounce here from what we've seen in Cleveland with this brilliantly balanced roster of speakers that will put him over the top and give him a lead he won't relinquish?
I think he will get a bounce. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, the pollsters, there are a lot of those people out there, and I don't want to put anybody down, but, you know, they're talking about how when England voted to leave the Union, all the economists and all the smart people said, 9 out of 10 of the economists said they didn't want to leave. It's a bad for them, and it's not going to happen. But yet the common folks, the people on the street said, this is what we're going to do, and they did it. So I would listen to the people on the street. The people on the street sent Mr. Trump as a top nomination, an outsider, against a season filled of 16 politicians. And he came out resoundingly.
And there is a reason why that happened. He's the people's champion. And the people have a voice now that I don't think they've had in previous election cycles.
They haven't.
At least in terms of an outsider's perspective.
And I think people are waking up that it is the government of we the people.
I want to shift gears on you very quickly. Do you think the media distorted Representative Steve King's comments on CNN? Or do you think they used it as a bludgeon to take a cheap shot?
I think CNN used it as a bludgeon, and I think they took it out of context. Absolutely.
You can feel free to agree or disagree with me. I, for one, consider it to be a breath of fresh air that he did not apologize. You see, any compliment of the founding stock of this nation is immediately decried as racist or xenophobic or whatever the buzzword of the day is. It becomes a socio-political nuclear bomb. If we're going to have a free society where you can debate any issue, I think this should be one of them also.
You know, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Sitting on Foreign Affairs, we had a letter coming to us, and it was from the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, going to the FBI director, stating that if we need to maybe investigate people whose views differ than the administration on climate change. Now, I don't want to get into a debate on climate change, but just understand that they're talking about if a person doesn't agree with an administration on their views, maybe the federal government should investigate them. Think about the ramifications. Talk about the First Amendment. It's gone. And under Hillary Clinton, you're going to see an extension of the Obama administration on steroids. They're going to go after the First, Second Amendment. Those aren't scare tactics. It's happening now under this administration, and thank God, America is finally waking up.
I think we're turning a corner. What do you expect to see between now and the end of this convention and the end of this election?
I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a well-defined, crafted message coming out of Donald Trump. Not that he has to change. I mean, his message has gotten him where he is today against all odds. But I think what you're going to see, and I see it already happening, is the unification of the Republican Party behind Donald Trump with the help of the American people. And it's going to propel Donald Trump to be the next president of these United States of America.
We'll be celebrating in November
should that come
to pass. Congressman, thank you for your time. I'll see you the next time I'm at Disney World.
Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Have a safe trip.
Stay out of the water.
All right. Yeah, we actually had a funny conversation after that. That was Ted Yoho, congressman out of Florida, about how every pond in Florida has an alligator in it, and I was down in Naples. A couple of months ago, I was down at Sanibel Island. Sanibel Island actually produced an alligator that killed a woman who was a gardener. And we had a few minutes of talk about that. Just a good guy. And again, undoubtedly, bet your bottom dollar, the media will attack Donald Trump. They will attack me. They will attack everybody that I talk to while at that convention. What they won't do is write stories about the domestic terrorist group Black Lives Matter, who is murdering police officers. They will not talk about the radical Islamic terrorism that is causing mass murders across the world. The most recent in Munich, Germany, where they were targeting children. They will not talk about Hillary Clinton's criminal activity. They will talk about decent, law-abiding, fully vetted by the Secret Service, by the FBI, and God knows who else. They will talk about Christian family men, conservative men like James Edwards and Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, and they will paint us as these despicable people because they are liars. This is what they do. They cannot help themselves. This is why I have nothing to do with the media, why I have turned down over 100 media requests for interviews. I have turned down the Washington Post. I have turned down the New York Times. I have turned down the Wall Street Journal. They have done great interviews with us. And this is where we are. They will not talk about anything that matters. They will try to blow our reputations out of proportion, which is why I have had my fill of it. No telling what they will do. The last time we went through this, which was back in the spring in March, I had received press credentials to go to one of Donald Trump's rallies in the Memphis area. We had an interview, an incredible interview Sam Bushman and I did with Donald Trump Jr. on the Liberty Roundtable show. Donald Trump Jr. stayed longer than he was scheduled for because he was in agreement with everything we said. Not only that, he doubled down enthusiastically on everything we said. This was on the morning of Super Tuesday, the busiest day of the election cycle to that point. He stayed with us longer than he was scheduled for, and the media skewered him for that. I am a supporter of Donald Trump Jr. I think he's a great guy. He made the bad decision of playing the media's game in that and disavowing us. And he believed the lies that were said about us. And we believe that he can repent. And we believe that he can make that right. And whether he does or doesn't, I still support him. And I still support his father. I'm still appreciative, having been there in Cleveland, of seeing a son support his father the way that he did. But he made a bad decision and he made a mistake in letting the media make him run from us, because he believed the lies that were told about me and about us. And this same thing will happen to all of these representatives that we talked to. And believe me, there were a lot more that I talked to that we haven't played yet, and that I talked to that I didn't get interviews with. But that all happened. And let me tell you something, folks. With what we discussed, we were all in agreement. And we'll just let it stay with that. And we'll be back right after this with the final segment of the night. Stay tuned.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
As I said, folks, we talked to so many people at the Republican National Convention, whether it be Dan Rather, Alan Combs, who broke my camera, or any of the congressmen you've heard from thus far this evening. A lot of them we got on tape, some of them we didn't. Governors, senators, various elected officials, delegates, snack bar attendants. It doesn't matter. We talked to all of them, man, woman, child, black, white, Jewish, homosexual with Milo. We were there and we were talking and we were listening and we were interviewing. And I will tell you this, though. I think, in my opinion, the best interview of any congressman that we talked to came from Sam Bushman. Sam Bushman interviewed Tom Moreno of Pennsylvania. He gave the most hard-hitting, direct, in-your-face. He really answered the questions. I was standing right next to Sam as he conducted this interview and was thinking, you know what? Out of all the people we talked to, I think this is the guy that stole the show. Here is Sam Bushman's interview for Liberty Roundtable. We're replaying it tonight on the Political Cesspool. But Sam Bushman, my good friend with Representative Tom Moreno of Pennsylvania.
Congressman Tom Moreno, Pennsylvania. What do you think of the Republican convention so far?
This is my first, and I find it absolutely amazing. It's incredibly exciting.
The mainstream press tries to make us believe it's nothing but divisionary. Your comments?
Well, look at the mainstream press. They're liberals. They want the government to take care of them, the people that are working for them, a lot of them. And so certainly they're not going to tell the truth.
They're saying Donald Trump's a racist. What do you say?
Well, I tell them, look in the dictionary and look up the meaning of the word racist. Because here's what the Democrats do, and here's what the liberal media does. I was a prosecutor for 18 years. And when I was in trial, and the defense didn't have a good case, they didn't have the facts to argue, they tried to argue the law. When they didn't have the law on their side, they just made things up and lied about it. So that's pretty much how I equate the media.
Sounds like the Clinton administration. Do they belong in prison? I know it's not the Clinton administration now, but it almost seems like they want it again, right?
Well, as a prosecutor, I can't say whether someone belongs in prison. I can say that's up to the jury, but I do say I think there's more than enough evidence there to indict.
What about having Congress get 218 votes to call her in contempt of Congress and empower a grand jury with subpoena power?
Well, I've been pushing that hard. I've been getting my colleagues trying to get on board to do that, and that's something that I'm not going to let up on.
I appreciate that. It seems like the others seem to have a defeatist attitude.
No, look, we're there working. Congress has to realize, and the White House has to realize as well, that we work for the American people. It's not the other way around. And I'm just so excited to see the uprising now, the populist movement of the American people saying to us and the White House, hey guys, we put you in here, we can take you out. And this is not a Republican, Democrat, independent thing. This is across the country. I hear it certainly in my home state of Pennsylvania, which is traditionally a Democrat state. People are sick and tired of being sick and tired of Washington. They're tired of the establishment and they're tired of politicians. And someone will say to me, why Trump? Well, that's an easy answer. How's it been going the last 30 years with politicians being president? We're $20 trillion in debt, 20 million out of work or underemployed. The borders are wide open. Failed health care. The standard of living has decreased. Business is leaving the country in droves. Do I need to go on? I want a businessman who signs a front of paychecks. I want a man who calls it like it is, not afraid to, doesn't worry about being politically correct. and I want a man that is who says what the American people are thinking.
Are you endorsing Trump?
I was the first congressman to come out to endorse Donald Trump that had not endorsed anybody else. He was always my first choice.
What do you think is going to happen tonight? Is he going to unify?
We're unified, with the exception of Senator Cruz, and he blew a golden opportunity. But we don't need Senator Cruz to win this election. But he's going to his choice of Pence as a VP. Pence brought the House down last night. Laura Ingraham brought the House down. Newt did. But tonight, Donald is going to talk about making America great again, the specifics on how to do it, and to bring America, all of us together, one America.
Do you think, last question, do you think Donald can beat the criminal corruption of Hillary? Can he really win with her corruption?
He can win because as a prosecutor, I believe that the law, the rule of law always prevails.
Thank you for your time, Congressman.
You bet, my bet. My pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, sir.
So that, folks, gentlemen, is just a sampling of the kind of week that we had, and we talked to a lot of more people like that off the air. We had some very, very candid conversations with some very high-ranking elected officials about some very, I won't say taboo or controversial, but some very interesting and important subjects. And I wish that time would permit me to go on with that and to share with you all of that. We have a couple of minutes left. I have a few more interviews. We're not going to be able to get to all of them tonight, and I don't even know if we can do this. But I'd like to ask, because I know he's producing the show tonight, if there's any way Sam Bushman can hop on for the last couple of minutes. I want to encourage you to go to libertyroundtable.com and listen to the live coverage that you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week from the Liberty Roundtable show. Each of those five shows, really every show that Sam does, is can't miss radio. But these, if you're interested in what was going on at the Republican National Convention, live from Media Row, Sam was there, I was there, Kurt was there, Matt the Copperhead was there every day this week. And now, of course, I'm back on my program, and we're talking about it. Do we have Sam?
Here.
Are you going?
I'm ready to go.
All right, Sam is there,
buddy.
Sam, you've heard the whole show tonight. Is there anything that I left out in my retelling of the tale to the audience that you would like to add?
Yeah, the interesting thing that I find is, you know what? In America, they want you to believe that we're racist. But you know what? Everybody in the country gets it. The clown media is losing every day. They're desperate. They're freaking out. This girl, Tracy, that I mentioned from Tracy and Friends that I interviewed, she clearly said, look, if you're white, you're a racist. If you're black, you're a sellout if you stand for the principles. And then she went on to explain that it's about control. These people absolutely do this to maintain control when they divide. If we unify, if we work together, she's clearly a delegate, she's a Trump supporter, and she's black, and she gets it. And I'm just telling you, more Americans are starting to get it as well. This is an issue where the American people are blowing the lid off their control mechanism of divide and conquer. And that's really the takeaway, that Trump's the leader in getting this done, and Americans left, right, fat, skinny, tall, short, black, white, they're all starting to get it, and the mainstream press is absolutely in a full-out panic.
Well, I will say this. For me, my work, myself as an individual, we're unequivocally pro-white. This is a show that advances the interest of European Americans.
And by the way, the black people that I talked to said they don't see any problem with that at all.
Well, and that's right. And you even talked to, I didn't make mention of this in the show. And again, it's not because we want to oppress or harm or in any way mistreat people of other races or ethnicities or religious groups. But this, you know, we champion, or I champion who I am, and I'm very proud about that. And that's what this show is primarily here to serve. But you talked to Univision. Now, this is a very interesting thing that has not been mentioned yet. Please very quickly, Sam, share your experience with one of the high executives of Univision that you talked to at the convention.
He was an L.A. bureau desk chief. And I basically said, look, is Obama a racist? And he said, no. He said, no, I don't think so. Kind of interesting, if you ask me.
Well, considering that Obama is supporting what I would consider a terrorist group in Black Lives Matter, but you also asked that same question of him regarding Donald Trump.
He said, no.
Now, that is where it does get interesting.
They're not racist. So I find that interesting that he wants to say nobody's racist.
But yet, the mainstream press in America wants to say everybody's racist unless you agree with them.
Well, Sam, speaking of people who are going to call others racist, that would come from a lot of our peers in the booth in the area that we inhabited this last week.
Oh, we are surrounded by them. Last point to make before the end of the hour, though, James, it was critical to note, they want you to believe it was all divide, all scandal, all manipulation, all infighting. That's bogus. It was incredibly peaceful, incredibly unifying. It was something to behold. And if they'd report the truth on it, America might actually be unified and we'll take our country back.
You covered it for 5 days at LibertyRoundtable.com. Folks, listen to those broadcast archives for Monday through Friday of last week at LibertyRoundtable.com. Sam, you know that they're going to come down hard next week in the press. They already have started to write a few ridiculous stories about you and me. What's your response to that, and are you ready for it?
My response is very, very simple. Let the yesteryear clown media come on. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Don't be afraid. We'll hold your hand. We'll help you. But as you try to abuse us, we'll just flat out mock you. We'll make fun of you. We'll call you weak and clown media just like Trump's doing. And we will win and you will lose. And you'll be relegated to yesteryear. The new media has taken center stage and you simply cannot stop it. So get out of panic mode. Come to the table for solutions, would you please?
Ladies and gentlemen, what more can we say than that? I hope that in the hours provided to us by commercial talk radio, these last 3 hours, we have been able to give you a little behind-the-scenes take on how it all was. Thanks to the great Sam Bushman for helping make this possible.
I'm saying make America first, baby. Can they get a part of that?
That's what we're working to do, and we were there when the man to do it was nominated. We'll be back next week with you, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com, ThePoliticalCesspool.org. I'm James Edwards. Good night. God bless you. No retreat, no surrender, no apologies.